All right, welcome to another Parents on Learning. Yes, this will be our last one before Pesach break. As we've done in the past, you joining us, David? As we've done in the past, usually the one before we break for Zman is usually one that has to do with Pesach. And I always enjoy doing sugyas on areas in halacha where a lot of minhagim have developed, and often we kind of lose sight of the core of what the halacha is. So we all know. I know when I was a kid, my parents are Baalei Tshuva, and Hadin Afikoman was a huge part of my seder for years. In fact, that's the only part I look forward to, because of the present. And it was always like the challenge to like find the best hiding spot. But then when you got older, when I was in my year in Eretz Yisrael, I was told, "How can you hide a chafsa shal mitzvah?" You know, like, it's a chafsa shal mitzvah. You can't hide such a thing. All right. Then it gets even worse, which we're not going to do today. But when you take up the Rambam's position, the Rambam doesn't have him. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz. So if he doesn't have yachatz, the Rambam actually never has any hiding of any afikomen. So for Tiamanim, even some of these Sfardim, and actually my seder also, I only use two matzahs. I do not do yachatz. I wait till motzi matzah, and at that point, I break the matzah. And so there's never any hiding done. However, for symbolic reasons, to keep the minog of hiding the afikoman alive, the Ginsburg minog is to take a random piece of matzah and let my kids hide it if they want to. But it's the not afikoman hiding. That's like that's his position. But anyway, so afikoman is a very funny thing. First of all, the term itself, afikoman, is not, obviously, as you guys know, it's not a Hebrew word. Joe, you knew that, Joe. And people always make a little bit of an error because they think, they always think that what you're eating at the end of the meal is the afikoman, right? But that's actually not what you're eating. And as you look carefully in the Gemara, if you guys all prepared, the halacha is what? That you're not supposed to... What? Which means what? But okay, let's take the classical definition. What does afikoman usually mean? Dessert, right? So, okay, so what do you normally have for dessert at the end of a meal? How you doing, Shmuel? Oh, okay, you're comfortable okay like that? I mean, okay. So, as you will see in the Gemara in a second, usually you have traditional desserts, whatever they would have, right? But what do we do? What are we supposed to do? So, without getting to the Gemara yet, what do we do today? So, the last thing we have at our meal is matzah. Of course, that's not technically true, because what do we have after the matzah?
Wine.
Okay. And maybe we'll touch on in the end some of the questions about the halakhas of what you, if you can eat anything after the afikoman. But it is interesting how this process evolved, because initially the afikoman had nothing to do with matzah. It had to do with the Korban Pesach. Okay. So let's take a look at the Gemara. I tried to keep the sources a little limited. I hope I didn't make them too short, but okay. Yo, do you want to read? No? Okay. Be wonderful. Please take it away. Aim off your Nachar Pesach. Okay, so Mishnah is very cryptic. It tells us that you cannot have afikoman after eating the Korban Pesach. So if we translate afikoman as dessert, so after you consume the Korban Pesach, you cannot have any dessert. Okay. Now let's get our logistics down. When was the Korban Pesach initially consumed? Seder night. No. Okay. That it was there too. Let's go in order. Okay. When is the Korban Pesach first consumed? When do you start consuming the Korban Pesach? Okay. I have to say you're right, but you're wrong, but you're right. You know what I mean? Okay. Because what we do today is Korech is Zecher, right? But what happened back then? So Shulchan Aruch, you'd wash, you make Hamotzi and Achilas Matzah. And then after that, you would consume your Korban Pesach with your Matzah Mar. That's where you would Korech things. Okay. You'd have your matzah mara together with Korban Pesach. That's your meal. That's your dinner on Seder night. Now, there's another halacha, which is that at the end of the meal, okay, which is this is going to come up, what's the last thing you consume for that meal? It's a Korban Pesach, okay? All right. So keep going, Yudi. What does it say in source number 2? The Rashman says what? Yeah. Klomar. Interesting, right? So what does that mean? When you end your meal, right, you don't end it with a dessert, okay? Meaning at this point, how would you understand it? So I would be eating my meal, right? And what would I eat at the end of the meal? Let's say I eat my Korban Pesach. Okay, but my meal's not over, because what do you still have at the end? You have dessert. Your Korban Pesach is not dessert. You don't end your meal having meat, right? I'm saying at this point. Rather, what do? You have a dessert afterwards, yeah. No, as from Hamotzi, okay. Right, until benching.
Until benching.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I have a question. Can we read the phrase Pesach Afikoman as one phrase? Like, you don't add anything after the Pesach dessert.
Right, so that's what the Gemara is going to do, right? No, it's going to do that.
But I think you're breaking it down. You don't have dessert after the Pesach, and I'm saying the Pesach is the dessert.
Right, but the problem is like this. When you say the Pesach is a dessert, right? So what normally is a dessert?
Cake or dates.
Like the Gemara is going to say, tamarim and klayos, right? That's what a dessert is. Mushrooms, right? Chicks, right? So what you're saying is that, in other words, are you saying, are we replacing our dessert with the Pesach, right? Or is it that normally I would have like a palate cleanser after my meal, and we're not doing that tonight. We're ending with the Pesach. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a subtle difference between the two, right? I mean, certainly there's plenty of Gemaras that justify the idea that desserts were palate cleansers, right? We saw this when we did the Mizonos Sugya. I remember if a guy ate the salted fish with the bread, right? There was an idea of that being a palate cleanser. So there's a little, it's unclear, right? But we're going to get a little into that, how that works, okay? Okay, Yudi, go ahead. Right, so I didn't bring in Rav, right? Because Rav's a whole different svar. But I feel like we should have Rav on the table. So Rav says, what's the halacha? Rav says that you can't go, what does it mean, ein maftir and achar pesach apikomen? Not the way we learn today. Rather, what does he learn? Right, I can't go to someone else's chabura and join them, okay? So Rav would say, what am I not allowed to do? I can't leave my, well, to be technical, I can't leave my seder to go somewhere else and then join their Seder. So Rav learns the Mishnah, Ein Maftir and Achar Pesach HaPikomen, to mean, I can't join another Seder after mine, okay? The example would be, by the way, is let's say like I finished Shulchan Aruch and want to go over to my friend's house to have Hallel, and they are starting their meal, right? So I wouldn't be able to join them for their Korban Pesach, okay? Whereas Shmuel says, okay, so who basically Shmuel is going to learn out, which Rashi was going to explain in a second. But basically, Shmuel is going to learn out that what can't you do? You can't eat after the Korban Pesach. Okay, now what would normally, again, as someone pointed out, does that mean that I can't have I replace my normal dessert with the Korban Pesach, or does it mean that normally I would have desserts, right? The Korban Pesach is the last thing I eat. It's almost like an early ending to the meal. Okay, you can go either way before we get to any svaras. Okay. But of course, the big question is, what's the reason? Why do we say the difference of what they ate? Why do we say, what's this idea of no eating after the Korban Pesach? What's that based on? So take a look at that Rashbam number 4. That's where everything starts. Mm-hmm. So know what the Rashbam is saying, right? The Rashbam is saying that whereas Rav would say, I can't be oker from my group, I can't break the relationship with my group to go to another group, Shmuel says, no, it's an intra-group problem, meaning in my group itself, where whoever I'm having my seder with, I'm not allowed to go ahead and eat after the Korban Pesach. Why? Okay. Notice if you look carefully, the Rashbam is saying two things there. Look very carefully. He's giving almost two separate reasons, but he's saying two things. What's the first reason? Shalom. lose. Right. So meaning the last thing that you should eat in your meal, right, should be the Korban Pesach. This way, the taste of the Korban Pesach is in your mouth, right? It should be in your mouth as long as possible. Now, again, we're going to ignore the problem of what problem comes up naturally. Arbakosos. You've got two kosos to go, so it's kind of funny. But let's assume, and the Gemara makes us know, let's assume that the Tom Pesach, you guys, when we did the first Mishmar of the year, if you recall, right, and there's going to be something we're going to borrow from that area, when you have meat, right, remember how there's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam insofar as what happens after you have meat, right? There's Rashi says the fat, the residue stays in your palate and lasts a long period of time, whereas the Rambam said you have meat stuck between your teeth, right? So in a similar sense here, the Rashi, I'm saying, what has to happen? The taste of the meat has to continue inside your mouth, okay? But he also says there's another general halacha. What's the second point? No. But right, l'fichu dino, which means right. Interesting. So again, this goes back to the interesting thing about dessert. Okay, if I ask you guys, it's a funny thing. Like, when during the meal do you have dessert? Right. Okay. But like, okay. So it's always a funny thing. You know, like, do you have dessert when you're ready full? There's always room for dessert, right? Right. Some people do, right? You know, like when you go out to a restaurant, you have like a great meal, and then like, you know, you say there's no room for dessert. So always the question is that are you really satiated? Is dessert post satiation, or is it that last little bit left? Whatever room you have left in your stomach is room for dessert, right? But there's a. Do I have two? Are you making fun of me? Right. Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, mushrooms. Right. Right, exactly. Okay, but the point though is that like every other korban, okay, there's a halacha in general about korbanos. When you consume the korban's consumed, we'll call it, I think you put it well, Yudi, at the point of satiation, okay? I wrote that? Yeah, very good. Okay, excellent. Whoever wrote that? It's like you had a great meal. It's an excellent question how you time this, but you had a great meal. And you're at that point now where like, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but you're at that point where, you know, your stomach's just about at that point. And that's a serious problem. I didn't bring in Tosos here only because of time. And I don't want to give too many sources. That's an interesting problem. You cannot have an achilas gasa. An achilas gasa is where a person is like overfilled. You cannot eat your Korban Pesach in that state. That'd be a problem. But no, you're making an excellent point. You want to make sure during your meal, we'll get to the matzah later on, but you want to make sure during your meal that you don't eat too much. You want to eat a lot of your Shulchan Aruch, but you don't want to eat to the point where if you had any matzah afterwards, that would be satiation. That'd be oversatiation. That'd be very bad. That would not be good. Yeah, Yonatan. So doesn't the Gemara say that satiation only happens after? I was waiting for that. Let's put that to the side. Excellent question. No, because it's a good question. That's not for now. That's a meta question and how Sviya works. Okay.
Not really, but
It is. No, it is. Because here, there's a certain axiom. The axiom we're accepting here is that when it comes to, it's an excellent question, right? It's a good question. But that's a question in Sviya in general. For now, let's just focus on when are you supposed to have the Korban Pesach? Ala Sova. So our job now is, I want to know the Rosh was giving two reasons, right? It sounds like he's saying two separate things. He's saying, we don't want you to lose the Tom Pesach, right? And he's also saying that the last thing you eat is the Korban Pesach, Alasova. But why didn't you both reasons? Why not just say, are they? But they don't sound like they're the same. Frame it for me the way. That's two reasons. Busted. That's two reasons. You just said secondarily. Meaning by virtue of the fact that it's the last thing. It's not secondarily. Okay, good. I know what you're trying to say. All right, good. Yeah.
And then, so it should be, but we also want it to be the last thing as the
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So essentially, it's very simple. It's a korban, and it's something symbolic. And because it's symbolic nature,
Yeah.
But the kicker, so to say, of the whole thing is that you should be experiencing it. And how do you experience korban? Through the taste. If at least partially. And therefore, it's a twofold thing that you should have the taste in your mouth the whole time to be experiencing the korban throughout the whole meal.
Okay.
You can do that at the point of satiation to accomplish this.
Right, but again, so why do I have to keep the taste in my mouth? Why is that important?
Have the experience throughout the entire seder.
No, it's not the entire. No, right, but let's say I eat my korban a la sova. I finish my korban, right? So what do I care if I still have the taste in my mouth? Why? Why is that important?
Because now you're experiencing the korban throughout the entire seder.
Why is it? The seder's, first of all, technically speaking, you're done with. We're not going to go. We're going to go in the order that we do, which is where now you have benching and then halal, right? And then whatever, right? So halal is really the end of the seder. If that's true. So according to you, you really have finished it. Your mitzvahs and halal are done, right? You finished it. So what do you mean it's supposed to? Why should it continue on past that point? At least according to the Rashbam. Why is that important? That's our job. I'm looking for the svara. What's the Rashbam saying? Yeah. No, it's not. No. Go ahead. Nice try, though. Yeah.
I have two possible ways of looking at it.
Okay.
One way I can look at it is that the carbon pesach is like really nothing special to it. And really, the only reason is the second reason, in which really where every single carbon needs this idea of taste should not be lost. And the way that is accomplished is the idea of the point of satiation.
Okay.
Or there's the opposite idea, which is that Karbon Pesach is really personal, and the second idea isn't really an idea whatsoever. It just happens to be, coincidentally, the best way of achieving the Karbon Pesach idea.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Anyone else? Was that?
Oh, I didn't say something.
I asked anyone else. Okay, so that's I think the direction you have to go in. Okay, good. All right, but before we get there, let's just understand. Let's take a step back and let's go step by step to what the Gemara is trying to do. So Chazal come along and they want. It's very important for the sages that they want to extend the Korban Pesach past its I call natural endpoint. Okay, meaning when does the Korban Pesach come to an end halachically? You would say at the end of the meal, right? I eat the Korban Pesach and I'm done. We're just going to channel our Rashbam for now. So it seemed like that Chazal come along and say, we want to extend the Korban Pesach. Now, let's understand. Hold on. Let's understand. Rav, right? Rav comes along and says, Rav would say, remember, Rav says that I can't go to another Chabura. Why? What's he saying about extending the Korban Pesach? What's his idea? Why is that his Svara? What's he saying over there? All right, so the thing is like this. One way is more of a halakhic way, and one way is more of a culinary way. The halakhic way would say that in order to maintain my relationship to the Korban Pesach, that's expressed through the kviyas of my meal, meaning as long as I'm with my group. So there's a reality that I'm still relating to the Korban Pesach. But the moment I joined another group, what am I doing to my relationship to that Korban Pesach, to my Korban Pesach? I'm destroying it. So that relationship is gone. Whereas Shmuel is looking for more a positive idea. He's looking for a positive culinary extension. He wants the relationship to the Korban Pesach to not just be something where I'm no longer relating to it, but that there's some sort of positive expression of the Korban Pesach taking place. We'll get to why in a second. Okay, but that's the first step I would take. Yeah. The end of the meal. Yeah. Yeah, your meal comes to the end. I mean, the halakhically speaking, the hefsek of the meal is birkas hamazon. Yeah. Okay, so that you want to
talk. Is this different
from it's about to be.
Okay.
Okay. So, what do you call it? Okay. So, all right. So now, if that's the case, okay, so now let's get to what Avi's saying, okay, which is that if you look at the Rashbam saying, the Rashbam seems to be saying that what's the purpose of the Tom extending? The idea is very simple. is that if you're going to tell me that a korban has to be eaten a la sova, right? Meaning a kiyum, a fulfillment of the korban pesach, of the paschal sacrifice, is that it is consumed at the point of satiation. What would eating after that point indicate about my ne'achal a la sova? Right. In other words, if I went ahead and ate after the Korban Pesach, I would be demonstrating clearly that I did not do it a la sova, right? Meaning, if I had a dessert, right, after the Korban Pesach, what would that indicate about my achilas Korban Pesach, right? It was never done a la sova. So the Rashi is very simple. The Rashi would say that what's the purpose of the Tam Pesach? It's not so much, by the way, Yonatan, experiential. It's that it's there because it's not that it's producing something per se. It's just that if I ate something, it would be basically demonstrating that all along my achila of korban was not a la sova. Very simple halachic solution. Oh, so that's how. In other words, the mechanism, the vehicle to ensure is the taste in your mouth. Yeah. So al sova means that you want to eat the korban pesach right at that point where hitting satiation. It's like you're 98% there of filled stomach, and now that last little bit is the korban pesach. Yeah, you want to talk? Oh my God! No. That's not him. That's a halacha in korbanos. No, he's not. No, not at the not at the end of the meal. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. So no, you're like you're like 98% satiated. Yeah, Gavi. Yeah.
Why can you not say that the korban pesach was on a sova, and then this afikoman that you're eating after is a filet? Or is there something wrong with saying it that way?
Well, I mean, if there's a separate issue whether you can have an achilas kasa, that's a separate problem. But I'm just saying, like, how could that be? Like, you're saying that a guy
that gets you to sova,
I won't call it an achila. It's an interesting question because the question is, if you did an achilas kasa, would you violate that idea of alasova? I hear what you're asking, but I would say halacha wouldn't even recognize that as an achila because achilas kasa is not achila. You know what I mean? It's not. There's not even hana there anymore. Andrew, any hand up?
Yeah.
No, don't take me too literally. In other words, it's like let's say the classic way when someone has dessert, okay? You go to a restaurant, like I used to go. In a sense, it's functioning that way. You would never have a dessert, I don't think, of a Korban Pesach. That's what the Gemara gives you examples here. You have palate cleansers, right? Ironically, like, in other words, if you think about it, what's happening here that's ironic? You want to cleanse your palate from what you ate. But when you eat the Korban Pesach at the end, what are you trying to do? The opposite. You want to preserve that taste. You want that taste to be in your mouth for as long as possible. So it's almost like the anti-dessert in that sense. Today, I don't think as much we do palate cleansers today for dessert. It's more, but you know what it's like. Like when I have people over my house, you know, so like at a big meal, and there's always like, do you have room for dessert? When you ask the question, do you have room for dessert? What are you really saying? Or did you hit that point of fullness, right? Or no, is there still a little room left in your stomach? Which probably is probably more psychological than anything else. But because somehow, no matter what, everyone always has room for dessert. Okay. What? Yes, I know. Oh, it's only 5 grades. All right. Okay. All right. Now, by the way, just to let you know, we're going to see the Baal Mor and who's the other guy running? The Or Chaim. But it's about 9 or 10 different reasons offered for the Pesach. The Rashi's the simplest. Yeah, Avi. At this point, I would say I'm not sure when you mean accidental. I would say that it's the indicator. As long as that's there, that's the indicator that I was now chalas over. It's if I eat something, right? If I ate something, that would tell me, that would demonstrate that being now chalas over. So this is the indicator. This is the vehicle to make sure that takes place. Yeah.
Well, the idea of drinking wine afterwards, because that wine doesn't indicate the fact that
that's correct. Excellent, excellent.
The problem is, he says it has to be with taste.
I know. No, but you're right, though. You know, you are right about that. That is a sharp point. I would agree. In other words, drinking wine afterwards, right? So in other words, drinking wine, even if that taste, so to speak, was a little, or drinking the wine isn't negating that idea. I agree. That's, you're right. You're right. Okay. But yeah, David, yeah. Possibly, yeah. Possibly, yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. That again, if we had more time, I'd take it up, but there's a big machlokas we're showing about, so this week, how long the last one, okay? All right. Now, the only use of time, but yeah, Dan. Matzah flavored jelly beans, but then you haven't had matzah. What? Are you talking about today's avikomen? Give me your... I don't understand the question. Who said that that's the point? That's an aspect of it. You must have your corn pesach ala soba. That's at the end of the meal. You have to do that. That's a chiyuv. You can't have a korban pesach jelly bean. You know what I mean? Yeah, Joe. Let's say yes for now. Okay, for now. We didn't get to matzah yet. All right, now look at the Baal Mor. Okay, the Baal Mor is a, the guys in my share, I think, know this. The Baal Mor is a very, very interesting thinker. Even though today he's in the back of Gemaras, if he were alive today, I don't think he'd ever be accepted in mainstream Judaism because he is a radical Rishon. He's very Harif, yes, to the point where the Ramban wrote a Sefer, dedicated to destroying the Baal Mor, called Mechamas Hashem. So that's how much the Baal Mor provoked. Well, what? That's true, but the Baal Mor provoked a specific type of anger for the Rambam. But anyway, the Baal Mor always comes up with very fascinating positions, and this is one where I feel it'd be great to incorporate this into your Seder. So look what he says. Close enough. Time off. So what's his question? His question is, well, why do we care? Why do we care about a person's Tom Pesach disappearing afterwards? In other words, if the guy eats a corn Pesach at the end and Alasova, he doesn't buy the Rashom's idea. He says, listen, I don't need the flavor of the corn Pesach lasting afterwards. I was Necha Alasova. I'm good to go. Nearly. Okay, interesting. So the problem is that There's an issue of drinking wine between the third and fourth cup. And the reason why is we don't want people to not say challah. Okay. Now, I'm gonna place one caveat here. I found, in at least in my experiences, and I can personally say I have a difficult time with it as well, that challah is kind of like it's really not treated with the reverence it deserves at the Seder. So I'll speak from my experiences, and if people have the same ones, let me know. But usually in my storm, it always was, well, when we get up to Hallel, our objective is to basically redo Hallel as quickly as possible. Yeah, we'll have like a couple singing parts, but that's really the goal. Now, the truth is that Hallel is actually a fundamental part of the Seder. And the reason why is that after you've gone through the entire experience of relaying the miracles of the Exodus, and then you had the meal, right, which is another experiential part, you're celebrating that, a person would naturally want to give Hodah with gratitude, Hakara Satov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you want to do. So it's funny how like people will spend, you know, an infinite number of Divrei Torah on the four sons, okay? But when it comes to, yeah, but when it comes to discussing like different positions in Hallel, like what's David and Melech trying to say, you don't really see that often. Okay, so that being the case, it is interesting that the idea of Hallel plays a central role in the Baal Mor's position. So what does he say? He says, Ulafi, lift them in a choma. Good. Okay, you know what he's saying. He explains it right now. Don't worry. This is the Amri Hassam. Achar Achilasan, Miyad. Gagosam. So basically what it comes down to is that when they were eating in the, it was very cramped where they were eating, right? And after they were done with their meals, what would they do? They would go up to the roofs where there was much more space to recite challah, which by the way, I encourage everyone to practice that custom. Please, after you finish your seder, meal and you bench, let's go up to the roof and sing challah together. Now, so therefore he says, look, yeah, for sure. Yeah, lefikach, keep going, lefikach. Okay, so since there was a concern that people would go ahead and leave their makom and head up to the roof, they were afraid they wouldn't say halal. In other words, they were afraid that there was a concern that existed that halal would be lost. So now this is interesting. So how do you ensure that's not the case? This is weird. So what happens? Don't eat after the Korban Pesach. Well, how does that work? Why is it by not having the Tom Pesach inside my mouth? Remember, he's not into Kor Alasova. He's agreed you have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end. Why can't a guy eat afterwards? He's saying having the taste of the Korban Pesach in my mouth after the meal will ensure that I will recite challah. What is he talking about? I mean, what kind of concern is this? Okay, Yosef Blue, yes. But he didn't mention anything about Korban Pesach here. He's talking about challah. Okay. Okay, David. Excellent. Okay, good. Okay.
There's this chain that started from Magid, where you feel the sense of Oda'a, and you have the Korban Pesach, which is this culmination. And now, if you're breaking that chain, then you're not going to have that desire for...
Excellent. Yeah, Jonathan.
I mean, since we're doing like a kind of a false hefsek kind of thing into this, because if it was a hefsek problem, then the problem would exist no matter what if you went up to the roof.
Okay.
I would want to lean more towards a practical type of idea, in that if you have the Talm of Korban Pesach in your mouth, you're going to be reminded, oh, Seder, I have to say halal.
Right. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying we could put that a little more conceptually. But yes, there is no one's denying there's a practical component to it. Right. I know, but I think the Balmor is trying to bring out a very critical idea that is easy to overlook. I'll show you. But I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm sorry. He had his hand. Avi, go ahead. Okay. Okay. Right, so why is that working through the Tom of the Korban Pesach? You're right. So why have the Tom Korban Pesach continue? Yeah, Rami, what do you want to say?
I'm wondering, like, almost detecting that here, where, like, there's almost this concern that, after you finish your meal, you're going to get up and leave and just and proceed there.
Like, yes, I mean, yes. Like, you're right, Rami, yes. Right. Because, no, okay, good. Let's use that. Because... What does the end of the meal, what is it? Normally speaking, okay, let's say you come over to my house and we have dessert, right? Dessert means that the meal is over. By the way, as an aside, there's a joke in West Hempstead, right? You made a cookbook out of it. Because West Hempstead is a very interesting minhag. It's like, it's somewhere in between, there's people being nice, but at the same time, it's almost like aggressive, which is like, when the meal's over, but come stay longer, and you end up staying there till like 4 o'clock. So I think the cookbook was like something like lunch until four. Meaning that like, right, it's like one of these kind of things where like, wow, you know, it's already 1:30. I've already had dessert. Stay longer, you can never leave, right? But normally speaking, right, normally, what does the end of a meal, right, signify, right? You benched. A benching always means your meal's over, right? So if Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Shulchan Aruch, means your meal is over, right? So it makes perfect sense why a person wouldn't necessarily say halal afterwards. Normally speaking, during the year, your meal's over and you go home, you're done. You come to an end. Like you guys are saying with the chain, right? But I think the idea is that why have the Tam Pesach in your mouth? Because, and again, very similar to what we had by the case of the Basar and Challah. Because what's it doing?
I mean, it's angering you, it's this different sense, one you don't typically have, instead of a thought or a sight or hearing.
Right.
It's the taste that reminds you that this meal ain't, or your business ain't done.
Right, because the meal, right, just like we know challah is part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but so is the meal, okay? People don't realize that. The meal you have, that, you know, it's funny, a lot of times, I remember when I was younger, that we always had this feeling of the Seder's over when the meal starts, right? Whereas once we finish Magid, things come to an end, now you bring out the soup, the matzo ball soup, and the dinner starts. Shulchan Aruch is just as much as part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as anything else. Haraya, right, the Rambam holds, that what are you chayev to do what are you supposed to do ideally every time you eat during the Seder? Haseba, even during Shulchan Aruch, all right? Shulchan Aruch is just as much as a part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as anything else. So what the Baal Mor is saying is that, well, let's have the tam, let's have the flavor of the meal continue. And by having that continue, what's going to happen? It's going to demonstrate how the meal is part of the Sipur. It's not that the Seder came to an end with the meal, because that's normally what happens. Benching brings your meal to an end. No, here, it's the Sipur continues. And then it's going to culminate with challah. That's what the Baal Mor is saying, okay? Now, what about the Orchas Chaim? That's your cue. You're doing great, Yodi, by the way. All the parents are clapping and stuff. So. Go on. It's good enough today. It's Ravina Shimshon, but it's okay. Yeah.
Tell the story over all night.
Okay. Interesting. Now, forget the fact that it's matzah, by the way. I know he's mentioning matzah, but imagine it's also Korn Pesach. It doesn't matter. But this is a very different idea. I mean, that's why I highlighted these three positions, right? The Rashbam is a very strict, nice halachic concept. You don't want to be okir the idea of alasova. The Baal Mor also, I mean, I'd say yes, he's practical, but the point is he's trying to emphasize how the meal is part of the Sipur. But what is the Orchas Chaim saying? Okay, we want this taste to be in our mouth. Since we're chayiv, we're obligated to tell the story of the Exodus all night. What's his idea? What's his idea of having this tom inside your mouth past the meal? Yeah, you want to go? Well, they're always experiential.
Yeah.
Okay.
Connection of yourself to the Seder as a whole and to Yetzias Mitzrayim through the Tom.
But why is that important for even lasting afterwards? The point he's saying is that you have your chiyuv of Sipur is all night, right? So that's why you want the Tom to stay in your mouth. Why?
Because Tom is part of the experience of the Seder and Yetzias Mitzrayim and experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim through the Seder.
Okay.
So therefore, if you have this Seder the whole night, you have the Tom of the Korban Pesach.
Okay, yeah.
So, we have an idea that by Pesach Night, everyone should see themselves as if they left the tribe themselves.
Yeah.
And one thing that really does attribute to that is not just seeing the bread of your forefathers, but having the stale, or I don't know, you have soft matzah, taste of matzah
sure.
Out the entire time, and it really does lend the idea of an experience.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Yeah? You, Avi Klein.
Great. So, we don't see for is all night.
And in order, which I have a question about that, because I'm not sure about that. But yeah. So in order to have Seaport,
you know the story of Rabbi Kiyo and the other guys and the.
Right, but I also know that we have to finish Mahogany by Hatzos.
No,
you have Korban Pesach and then some say Hallel. Yeah, but you can still talk about the Seaport afterwards. It's until morning. But whatever, go on.
Right. The point is, so we're at Seaport next to Midsummer Lila. And if not, then you get a regular storyteller. You need some Midsummer Lila.
Excellent. Okay, excellent. Agreed. Right, excellent. In other words, I think what Aruch HaShem is saying is that, you see, what would you think? You would think that, in other words, the mitzvah Salila, right, are, for instance, things like consuming the matzah and drinking the kosos and maror and all those other things. You would think that once you do the maisa achila, the act of eating them, that the mitzvah Salila come to an end, right? What Avi's saying is that Sipur, right, the Sipur should not continue without some reality of the mitzvah Salila present. Just like when we go through Magid, we have the objects of the night in front of us, the foods, right? Like Pesach al Shuma, we don't have the corn Pesach, but anyway, Matzah al Shuma. We have the actual objects, the foods that are really, that contain the ideas of the mitzvah Salila in them, right? So the Sipur and the mitzvah are intertwined. That intertwining still takes place afterwards, meaning the Aruch HaShem, it's a very novel pshat. He wants to say that if your Sipur is going to continue, there should be a reality of the mitzvah Salila continuing with them. And the way to do that is to ensure that Tom is still in your mouth, right? This way, as you engage in further seepering, right, your mitzvah Salila is still present, okay? That's what the Aruch HaShem is saying. Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to say that it shouldn't exist in your mouth, and yet you still do it?
What do you mean?
You abolish the taste of the box in your mouth, but yet, despite the fact that you're no longer connected to these devices, you go ahead and do seeper.
No, because you want, just like when I do Magid, I want to have the object in front of me. I can't have the object anymore, but at least I have the idea, the phenomenon present.
The idea of seeper is irrespective of the mindset.
Don't we say, doesn't Rabban Gamliel say, if I haven't said these three things, I'm at Yotze?
Yeah,
but
your Yotze is seeper, but you still have an Akiyah.
I know, but yeah, it's true. I'm just saying, you're right. It's true, but I'm just saying, you do see that the mice and the seeper are really tied to each other. But okay, I hear. Okay. That being the case, let's just finish off now with it's interesting because if we stopped here, right, it's very interesting how the Gemara has, I mean, the Gemara mentions this, but the Gemara has Korban Pesach, right? Now, once the Pesach is no longer brought, so what you could have thought is what would happen to the idea of Ein Oakland Achar Pesach Hafikoma, what would happen to that halacha? It would disappear, right? That's what you would think. I mean, it's not a crazy concept. Right. Okay. Excellent. So you're sensing, very good. You're sensing why the Rasha was going to have a problem now, right? The Rasha was going to have a problem. Why have matzah? Because you're right. You can argue that according to, let's say, the Aruch HaShem, obviously says matzah, right? You could, in other rationales, come up with decent reasons why this could still continue, meaning it's not necessary to be extended through Pesach, but not according to the Rashba. So that's why, good to take it away. And now, what does the Rashbam say on that? You got to listen very carefully. It's interesting because what's the Rashbam saying? Why do you have matzah at the end of your meal? Well, zecher the matzah, the kricha. Interesting. So meaning most people think that the matzah you have at the end of the meal is really there to what? No. Meaning it's zecher for the Korban Pesach. That's not what he says. Now, let's follow, before we get a little more definitive, let's follow Rashi to his logical conclusion. If that's true, if you're the matzah you have at the end of the meal is to remember the matzah you have when? That you have with the Korban Pesach, well then what does the Rashi do with? No, Korach. Korach becomes very funny according to the Rashbam. Because isn't one of the ideas of Korach that you're, especially for those who have Teimani matzah like me, where we actually fold over the matzah, right? We fold, that's what Korach means. with a maror, right? So that's zecher to how the korban pesach was eaten. So that Rashi is very funny because you have a korach, which is where you're consuming the. Yes, right, exactly. It's like a korach on a korach. It's a very funny idea according to the Rashi. Like what's a, you know, whereas just do the last position. What does the Rashi say? Look at the second paragraph. He says hilkach. So the Rush says that what's the purpose of the matzah at the end? That, and I think most people feel that way, is that it's there because I don't have, it's replacing the Korban Pesach, meaning that we don't have a Korban Pesach anymore. So the matzah does that role. But think about the difference. Okay, what's the machlokas? What's the machlokas to say between the Rosh Brahm and the Rush? What's the machlokas to say that the function of the matzah, forget the correct outcome, what's the machlokas to say is the matzah at the end? This is important for people, or everyone Seder. What are you going to be thinking about when you have that matzah at the end of your meal? Are you going to be thinking about this is the same matzah that was used in the consumption of the Korban Pesach? Or are you going to be thinking to yourself, this matzah is, in a sense, a symbolic zecher of the Korban Pesach? What's the difference between the two? I ask. What would you say? Bezalel. Yeah, it's true. I know. I'm just saying the Rosh has to deal with that. Yeah, Yonatan, yeah.
So the Rosh is very easy here. In that if the monster is as if they're for Bethel itself, right? But it's obvious that it's again like it's a spiritual thing where we want this recollection of the Korban Pesach throughout the whole thing.
Okay.
The Rosh ones were a bit more difficult. So for the Rosh bomb, the matzah eaten with the Korban Pesach, that would be the satiation part of the meal, right?
Well, no. What happens is you have your shawarma,
yeah.
Right? You have your shawarma, and then at the end of the shawarma, all you do is you have like a piece of Korban Pesach, ala sova, alone.
Yeah, but the okay. Matzah, because the Russians eat the same, the matzah eaten with the Korban Pesach, meaning the matzah, again, is this five grains thing, it satiates you.
Yeah.
So that's the satiating part, and that activates the korban, because you can't have the korban until you're satiated, right? And you need the matzah to satiate. So the matzah is still, in some ways, the zecher korban pesach, but it's more connected to the actual act of korban pesach this way, according to the Rashbam's view, because one can't exist, or korban pesach can't exist without the matzah.
Okay, yeah. So putting all that five green stuff to the side, can you say that last part again?
Korban.
Okay, so therefore, okay, good. That's an important point, right? They go hand in hand. Okay, good. Yeah.
So I think it's almost a question: how do we get matzah to the point that it is today, where matzah is the key, like, experiential idea in the table? So there's two ways to look at that. One way to look at that is matzah almost kind of defaults into it because you don't have Korban Pesach. You could be what you were saying.
But why? Okay.
It's now the new thing that we have as kind of a replacement. That would be the Rosh.
Right. Okay. So, but more categorically, but I agree with you. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Right. 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 Okay. Yeah. Good. So maybe say like this. In other words, ultimately, it's interesting because you have this kind of tension in many issues of Zecher, of when Chazal try to create remembrances, this tension exists elsewhere. Maybe the question is like this. See, it's interesting. The Rush actually, he is simple, but he's also not. Why? Because he's saying, let's replace the Chetzah of Pesach with this Chetzah. Okay, so now he's taking matzah. His view of matzah here is matzah has nothing to do with Korban Pesach as an independent entity, and he's almost, in a sense, artificially. I'm sorry, my battery's running really low, so if I get cut off, I apologize. But anyway, he's only constant. It's he's acting. It's okay. He's acting. It's an artificial idea. He's actually taking the korban, the matzah, and he's kind of saying we're going to replace the korban pesach with the matzah. That's not the role matzah has as a as an independent chatzah. Right? Matzah has a very specific role. Matzah is zecher letzias mitzrayim. Now he's taking that and he's saying, well, we'll use that and replace the korban pesach. Whereas the Rashbam, I think, is actually cleaner because the Rashbam is saying, no, no, no. But we see he's using matzah in the same exact way it's used as a derech achila. Meaning not insofar as what it is as a discrete food, but how it's eaten. So as I think Honatan, a bunch of guys said before, the korban pesach and the matzah are intrinsically tied to each other. So it's less of a chiddush according to the Rashbam. Because what am I, why am I eating matzah at the end? I'm eating matzah at the end because I can remember through the way matzah is eaten, so to speak, because it was eaten with the korban pesach, I'll have a zecher, what it called, of the korban pesach in such a way. So meaning there's two ways I can accomplish the objective of a zecher of the korban pesach. I could say that I can replace the object with something else, even though this object naturally doesn't have that expression, but we'll give it that idea. Or do we say no? Do we say, well, the matzah that I eat at the end, that matzah was normally had to be eaten with the korban pesach. So it's derech achila. It's derech achila would also convey that idea. I apologize. My battery's about to die. So everyone, parents, thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if we're going to take the guys to the roof for Halal. We'll see. Emre Sheva Chag Sameach. We look forward to getting you guys. All the guys are working so hard on their Migdal Haggadah supplement, Divrei Torah. So I know all the parents are going to expect great things from that. Well, have a Chag Sameach.